Reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Market Report. Let's go ahead and take a look and see how futures are trading. In Kansas City, July wheat is 739 1/4, down 4 1/4. September is 746 3/4, down 4 3/4. July wheat in Chicago, 684 1/4, down 3 1/2. September, 692, down 4. July corn, 647, up 5 1/2. December, 521, down 3. July soybeans, 1427 1/4, down 1/4. November, 1213 1/4, down 4 1/4. July soybean meal, 415.10, up 20. July soybean oil, 49.40, down 12. June live cattle, 119.95, up a nickel. May feeders, 134.75, down 27 1/2. And June lean hogs at 93.20 are up 32 1/2.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Greetings, Mr. Dickey.
I see a quote from you in a recent article saying you're adding 29% to your corn planting pace, going to 57 on Monday's report. Before we delve into that a little bit, do you know what the record is? Because I'm looking at different numbers, and I'm confused.
As far as record
week on week.
Week-on-week record gain?
Uh-huh.
No, not for the national, but I would say that the 29 to 30% level would be close to a record. And it's interesting you pick that out, Dave, because the reason I said that was because last Friday I talked to a client west of Springfield who was concerned about it being 1983 all over again, and several of the clients west of Springfield were worried about that. Some of those clients have called in today and yesterday and said that they would probably be done by the weekend, some already finishing up. And so the rapid pace in parts of Illinois and some now in Indiana and also probably some in Missouri is making me think that we were able to add, we went from 12 to 28 last week. That was an additional 16%. I don't think it's hard to think that we could double that and get to 27 to 29% advance, that we did double as well as we did the prior week because of the wide open weather, and that we could be by the end of Sunday night 55 to 57%.
So what does that leave for the potential weather play going forward?
Two things. I think you still have, although Illinois looks a lot brighter in terms of planting progress, I think there's still a big issue on whether the South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa quadrant of the Western Corn Belt, and I would include half of Nebraska in that, will be that much farther along than it was this past week. I've got conflicting reports. The weather has certainly not been as cooperative, both in terms of rainfall and in terms of temperatures, to warm up the soils and to dry areas out. So I think the Western Corn Belt is still very much in play from a standpoint of keeping us down at the bottom five in terms of national progress made as we head into that very important time period that we're in now, that we've crossed over the threshold of May 15th.
The other interesting feature to talk about today happens in soybeans. And it happens in old crop, where July has perked above the 200-day moving average for the first time since that big drop that we saw on the WASDE and quarterly grains stocks reports back there in March.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because we've got the July NOV bean spread now at $2.14.
Yes.
Over the July. That's a new contract high. That takes us above September of last year, in the heart of the drought, August of last year, in the heart of the drought. And I think this is the story that still makes me wonder whether selling cash at this point in time is a real wise idea until we see Monday's numbers and until we see the weekly close today, at least in the week complex, to see how the technicals shape out. Because the major theme of this week has been, while the new crop corn, beans, and wheat have all gone lower on the week, old crop corn and beans are higher on the week. And just in the last few minutes, we've seen the July corn jump 5 cents to make new daily highs, and we've seen the July beans come back around positive on the session, led by the July meal. I think this is where the trade is really conflicted, Dave, because the stronger dollar and the fact that we're hitting a three-year high in the dollar index right now, there's no question in my mind we're hurting our foreign consumption. We're hurting it in pork in terms of exports. We're hurting it in terms of corn exports. And we see, however, on the flip side of that, the demand side continues to be stellar. We continue to see meal export sales really rev up. We had old crop bean sales reported this morning, a small number of 18,000 metric tons. And we saw the weekly corn ethanol numbers really come in nicely, higher production and a drop in weekly stocks. So I think you've got this split in the trade between the domestic demand and the tight supplies continuing versus our export demand, by and large, being hit and negatively impacted by this much stronger dollar. And the trade continues to trade the spread, which suggests to me that we're still tight enough that any supply issues on new crop could really be a shock to the market, and a price surge to the upside is very likely, in my opinion.
Well, it seems to me that those who looked at the crush report this week and called it bearish missed the boat.
Yes. You can't call it bearish if the bean oil stocks go down. That's how I looked at it, was that you can call it neutral based upon what the bean oil stocks going down on a 120 crush, but you can't call it bearish because plants are idling, and I think many in the trade realize that after we saw the July meal correct, and I think the July meal corrected nicely, held its 40-day moving average, and you rightfully so point out the 200-day moving average, and I think that 200-day moving average and the beans being retaken almost totality has been due to the meal strength.
And if another little tidbit on that meal strength, if you put the number on 120 and go to the end of the year, guess what? We're about 20 million bushels too rich against USDA's number.
That's exactly right. The most negative feature to this trade right now is that the wheat has lost or is vulnerable to losing a head and shoulders bottom, and it has taken out price levels I would not want to see taken out on Monday's close of next week. After we get past the winter wheat crop conditions, I think between the fact that the NOAA summer outlook called for below normal temperatures for the southern, or below normal precip for the southern plains, above normal temperatures for the southern plains, and the fact that the weekly wheat exports did beat trade estimates and really go against that stronger dollar mindset, I think these two things should have been priced into the trade a little bit more, and I think that especially given that we've still got issues in Russia's wheat belt and Australia's wheat belt. So wheat should not be the leader to the downside. If it is technically, Dave, I don't have a lot of hope for the corn to be able to turn around in terms of an overall price trend. So this is where I'm really on pins and needles when it comes to our leader, when it comes to the foreign competition, the stronger dollar, and the trade psychology, and the high-frequency trader technical outlook. That's where the wheat really puts all three or four of those things and shines the brightest light.
Why aren't traders paying more attention to the wheat's fundamentals?
I think it goes back to demand. I think that they feel as though the demand is weak enough that we can chop off 1 million tons or 10 million tons or 5 million tons here and there and still bring ending stocks down. We could have hard red wheat. You know, USDA put hard red wheat down substantially in the USDA report, but they brought the soft red wheat up too. So I think that they feel as though even if we had some supply problems, you're still seeing demand fall faster than the supply. That would be my best guess, and that's where it goes back to. We're now at a wheat corn spread of about 38 cents July. You're at a point now where the corn should be starting to feel vulnerable now from a wheat feed standpoint, and we don't want that because that's where it would hurt the corn in the long term.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick, July corn, 648.5, now up 7. December, 521.75, down 2.25. July soybeans, 1429.25, up 1.75. And NOBS, 1213.75, down 3.75. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.